Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. We're on podcast number 50. I'm George Taylor. Since this is podcast number 50, a nice milestone, don't you think? I've brought in a special guest. Author Regina Puckett holds a special place in my heart. You see, she was the first author who actually contracted with me to produce one of her books. To date, I have recorded 2 romance novels for her, as well as 5 books of poetry. Last week, we spent some time sampling the 2 romance novels, Concealed in My Heart and Songs That I Whisper. You can still listen to that podcast. These are the first 2 books in what is called the Warren Family series. Regina joined me on the phone from her home in Middle Tennessee, not too far from where 2 of my grandchildren live. We started by talking about her background. Tell me a little bit about your background, your training. A lot of folks who are writers weren't trained that way, but some are. What about you?
Oh, I started writing, I guess, in the 7th grade. Mm-hmm. And I just did it for my own vanity and never thinking that I could make anything out of it, you know. I was raised in the backwoods of Tennessee, and I was expected, I guess, to be either a housewife, a mother, or a secretary, maybe. At most, maybe a nurse. But I never thought I could actually be a writer. And it wasn't until my daughters were growing up and I was staying at home with them that I actually started writing on the side to kill some time. And I would submit it and be rejected. And I didn't start college until I was 29. So I don't know that I was ever really trained for anything but just be writing. I think most writers, I don't care what kind of schooling you get, I think writing has to do with just writing. You get better at it by just continuing to write.
Yeah, I agree. And that's spoken from somebody who's not necessarily a writer, but who has to string words together on a regular basis anyway. So, you know.
I think, Lee, you can do that. I admire anyone that can talk. I'm not that great of a speaker. I can write it on words. You know, if you don't make me have to string too many sentences together, I'm going to mess something. I'm better at writing. I'm going back and erasing it.
Oh, I hear you. With many writers, you think of a particular genre associated with their name. It's not so with Regina. As I told you earlier, I've recorded both romance and poetry for her, but she is actively writing in other genres as well. So you write in a bunch of different genres as well. I've seen romance, I've seen horror, I've seen poetry, I've seen steampunk. And those are the ones I see on your website. Any others?
I write children's picture books.
Okay.
And that's basically what I write.
Okay, all right.
So a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, yeah. So tell us, what is steampunk?
Well, steampunk, that's something new for me. I started that last year. I came across a picture for a book cover I wanted, and I thought, well, I don't know the first thing about steampunk, so the first thing I did was, so I could use this book cover, I started investigating it, and it's basically, you find a time period where the engines and the motors are not run by gasoline, but powered by steam. And so I decided to, most people write like in the 1700s, that era, but
okay.
Since it takes a lot of details about what the past is about, and people could go back and check your facts. I decided to write about the future, so I could write about whatever I wanted to.
So you transferred steampunk into the future, kind of as...
I guess I'm technically cyberpunk.
Okay, cyberpunk.
It's a little bit of both.
All right. Is it kind of a dystopian future?
It is.
Okay.
It is. I mean, the world has been, most of civilization has been destroyed by a great war, and they've gone back to the bare basics of creating engines that are either ran like clockwork or steam.
Okay, All right. So why all the different genres? Most writers I've seen generally stay in a pretty tight rein as far as where they write. Yeah, I've never seen one who...
Well, probably most of them are smarter than I am.
Okay,
I like
all right.
I like to try my hands at different things, and I started out writing romance, and I guess that's what I enjoyed the most. But a couple of years ago, my oldest daughter likes to go ghost hunting, and mm-hmm. so she was telling me some tales about her adventures out in these deserted, like, hospitals and stuff, and I thought, you know, that'd make a great story. I know when I was a kid, we would sit around making up ghost stories, and I thought, well, I don't know why I can't do that.
Okay.
So I wanted to try my hand at it, and I found that I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so in Jordan's book, I just happened to think of a book that for my parents, my father, he was bedridden, and my grandchildren were coming along, and I was kind of in a place where I was helping my children, my grandchildren, and my mother with my father, and I had a great idea for a children's book, and that got me started on that. And I like to draw, so I thought, well, why can't I draw? Do my own illustrations for it. I'm not that great at it, but it's fun.
So the children's books you have published, you not only have written, but have illustrated as well. Wow. Cool.
No, don't be too impressed.
I am impressed. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. So do you work on multiple projects at once, or do you focus on one and see it through and then shift to another one? How do you do that?
I kind of just do one thing at a time.
Okay.
If I ever stop writing one thing, then I'll just sit there, and it may take me years to get back to it. But once my characters start talking to each other, I have to stick with them or I'll lose them.
Okay. Makes sense. I'm talking with author Regina Puckett about writing and about the books she has written. The Warren Family is now 5 books, 3 of which are currently available as audiobooks, 2 of them which I produced. Let's focus on the Warren Family series that I'm doing for you at the current time. We started out with Concealed in My Heart. First of all, did you intend this to be a series?
I did not, but the first book started out as a dream that I had, and I kind of, since I like to daydream, I had a daydream and kind of built up around the story for about 2 years until I finally just started writing it, and I had no intention of doing another book, and then I thought, well, what about their daughter Suzette? Well, what happens to her? And then I thought, well, what happens to her sisters? And I thought, well, what happens to their brother? And then I thought, one of their daughters, Emily, she had her daughter, Mary Elizabeth, and so that's what I wrote about her. So no, I didn't intend on writing 5 books.
Okay.
It just kind of happened.
Okay, all right. So you just kind of wondered about these characters that you had created and had to...
Everything I do, you know, I can try to plan something and it seldom works. Most things I do kind of fall into place by accident, I guess.
Okay. All right. So any of these characters, are they based on people you know, or are they just creations out of a very fertile imagination?
No, they're not based on anyone I know.
Okay. Well, let's see. I've recorded Concealed in My Heart, Songs That I Whisper. You had a third book that's been done. That was based on which character now?
The third book?
Yes.
What the Heart Knows is based on, Emily.
Emily
and... Suzette's friend, Bill.
Okay.
So, which is actually different. If you have to think about the characters, it's a little different because if you remember, Charity was married to Johnny
right.
at the beginning
right.
before they divorced.
Right.
Well, you know, then Johnny has a son by another woman.
Right. That was
Bill. Bill is the son by the other woman.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So he falls in love with Charity's daughter.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then book number 4, which is your next
Love's
one
great.
That I'm going to do.
Love's Great Plan.
All right. Tell me a little bit about that book, since we're going to be actually recording that here in the next several weeks.
Okay. It's based on the characters of the Charity and David's son, Cody.
Okay.
And a character from book 3.
Okay.
In book 3, Emily is attacked and almost raped by Amanda's brother. And the two of them meet when Amanda helps Emily go to the police and help them capture her brother. And so Cody helps Emily in book three, and they fall in love in book four.
Okay. All right. I'm noticing a pattern here. Songs That I Whisper, you had romance, but you also had a little mystery thrown in there with the supposed brother of Seth. And I'm hearing a mystery in number three and a mystery in number four as well, along with the romance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love mysteries. I wish I had what it took to write just a book that was just a mystery.
Okay.
But I don't. I have one added here and there, but I don't know if I could do the whole book. You had one big mystery reveal at the end.
Mm-hmm. Any other books forthcoming out of the Warren Group?
I started a couple of years ago, and this is where I was telling you that if I ever let it go, that I have trouble picking it back up. But I did start a book based on Mary Elizabeth's best friend, Lori Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And her, Mary Elizabeth's stepbrother. So, I started it, I'm on chapter five, and I let it go to do something else, and I haven't picked it back up.
Ah, okay.
Maybe one day.
Okay. All right. By the way, you can find links to all the Warren Family books, both audiobooks and print books or ebooks, on the webpage for this podcast. Just go to narrationbygeorge.com and click on podcast. Look for the title of this podcast, An Interview with Regina Puckett. It's always interesting to know what might be coming up from a writer, so I had to ask Regina about her future publications. So what are you working on now?
Right now, I'm not working on anything. I've decided to take a break. I have three books that I have planned on my steampunk, for a new steampunk series, but with characters that we've met in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to do a Regency romance. I started on it, and I'm the first chapter, but it's taken so much research that it's kind of just sitting there. So I'm just reading.
Okay.
I get my hands on, I'm reading.
Oh, okay.
I'm being lazy, and I'm not really.
Okay, that's anything. We need to take breaks. It refreshes the mind.
And yeah. I definitely need that. I didn't plan on doing as much as I did last year. And, I put out like five steampunk books and three children's books and a romance. So I think I kind of need a break.
Yeah, I understand. So how many books have you published, Regina?
I think it's around 50.
Okay. And I had to ask the obligatory question about advice to new authors. Any advice that you would like to throw out to other authors out there, or maybe somebody who's starting out in the writing field?
I just say don't become discouraged. The odds are you're going to be rejected a few times. Just take that. If anybody gives you any advice about why they're rejecting you, look at it and see if you can use it to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And so just never give up. If that's what you want to do, that's what you should keep doing.
But Regina wasn't done talking about audiobooks that I've produced for her. I asked her about Final Words, and this is what came up.
I've been so proud that you accepted my books for me, because I think you do a wonderful job with them. And everybody I ever talked to that's ever listened to the books that you've done for me has bragged about what a great job you've done.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed doing your books. And I have to tell you, I really, really was unsure when I first started recording Warren, the Warren Family series. I was really unsure as to whether I could do a respectable job. But I decided, okay, I can at least give it a try. And if I can't feel like I'm doing a good job, I think I could talk to you and kind of go, oh, you know what, this is not flying. But it did fly. It did fly.
You did do a wonderful job, and as soon as I heard your voice, I was uncertain about asking a man to do a romance, because I wasn't certain how that would go over, but as soon as I heard your voice, and then I saw you were from Tennessee, I thought, I have to ask him if he'll be willing to, and I was so proud that you did.
Well, thank you.
You did such a wonderful job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, part of it, I love the way you develop your characters.
Well, thank you.
They have rich personalities, and it makes it easy for me as a narrator to wrap my head and ultimately my voice into that character and make that character hopefully come alive for the listener. If you've got a flat character, you know, I've got more work to do. I have very little work to do when I'm reading one of your books.
And you always make everyone such an individual. I like that.
Well,
you never have to guess which voice you're doing.
Well, that's part of the joy of working with you is that your characters are so well delineated. I hear them. I don't know whether I hear the same voice you hear, but I hear them.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you really do. I'm just amazed at that.
Wow. I'm looking forward to doing the next one.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
All right.
It's always so wonderful to hear your, you know, it's one thing to write down, but when someone actually is narrating, it's such a joy to hear that.
Well, thank you. Well, I enjoy doing your stuff, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Any last words you want to throw out there? Anything at all?
No, I appreciate you having me. I can talk all night about writing. Not that I'll probably make any sense of anything, but I love writing, and it gives me a joy that other things don't give me. You know, I go to work, and even though I like my job, it doesn't give me the satisfaction that writing does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone needs something in their life that gives them something to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm glad you're writing. I'm glad we can team together, and I appreciate the opportunity to do your stuff very, very much. And I look forward to more.
Oh, I will do more. Trust me, I will.
All right. Folks, this has been Regina Puckett with me on the Narration by George podcast. Regina, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Regina, for some very nice words. Author Regina Puckett has been with me on the podcast this week. Her Warren Family series includes Concealed in My Heart and Songs That I Whisper, both of which I have produced, and you can find on Audible.com and in the iTunes store. The third book in this series, What the Heart Knows, was produced and narrated by Holly Jackson. You can find links to all of these books on my podcast page. Go to narrationbygeorge.com and click on Podcasts. We've got just a few minutes left in the podcast. We've been talking about Regina Puckett's writing, so let's hear a little of what that writing sounds like. This excerpt is from Songs That I Whisper. Suzette Warren is on the Seth Black tour bus in order to do sketches of Seth for an album cover she's painting. Seth wakes her from a nap with a question about a story he had heard before they left home. A shoulder pressed into Suzette's, so she opened one eye to see who had disturbed her. She quickly opened the other when she saw it was Seth. She peeked at her watch and saw they had been traveling for a little over 6 hours. Seth's smile widened when he saw he had her full attention. I have to know the story behind why Cody had to get you and Bill out of jail. The short nap had left Suzette feeling slow-witted, but that question quickly snapped her fully awake. She sat up straighter and stalled for time by scratching her eyebrow as though trying to recall. Unfortunately, that night's events remained crystal clear, as if they had just taken place. She had hoped in vain that the whole jail thing had gone right over Seth's head. The night before, Cody had dropped a hint while she and Seth had been heading upstairs to go to bed that he might tell their mom about the incident. Obviously, Seth had overheard the threat and was now curious. She knew it would be futile to try and fob him off, and anyway, she wasn't a very good liar at the best of times. She would probably just trip herself up with lame excuses.
She gave a long sigh and slumped back into the comfort of the huge bus seat. She looked out the window for a moment before beginning her crazy story.
"It's so silly it isn't really worth even talking about." Seth gave her his famous deep chuckle, the one that said he didn't believe her for one moment.
"Why don't you just tell it as it is, and let me decide if it's silly or not? Come on, quit stalling."
She shrugged as if to give in. "Okay, but if you tell my mom, there won't be a place far enough away for you to hide that I won't be able to find you."
He held out a calloused hand, which she took, and they shook solemnly.
"It was on Halloween night last year. Mom had invited Bill and me over to help her give out candy to the neighborhood kids and for us to eat supper. We had finished handing out all of the candy by 9 o'clock, and Bill decided to walk me back to the gallery. We were going to get started on hanging a show that night and finish the project the next morning. You know, it's only a few blocks, so we didn't think anything about walking back there at that time of night. It wasn't anything that we hadn't done a million times in the past. Murfreesboro's about the safest place I can think of, and so we weren't worried."
She stopped and looked to make certain he was following her. He gave a short nod and a smile, so she continued.
"We had only walked a couple of houses away from Mom's when we, well, I'm still not sure whether we heard or saw something. You know, it all happened so fast."
She paused, and he nodded once more.
"Bill and I both stopped about the same time and looked over at Dr. Roberts' house. But then something flew at us from out of the darkness. Bill automatically held his hands up. I don't know if it was to protect himself or to catch what was coming at him, but he did catch something. We both looked down, and there he was, holding a roll of toilet paper. We just stood there looking at it."
Without thinking about what she was doing, she placed her hand on his arm. She looked as serious as possible, her voice very earnest.
"You understand, we were both too stunned to move, but then we heard a burst of giggling and a sudden rush of feet running away in the opposite direction. We just kind of looked at each other, and then we were bathed in blue lights, and Dr. Roberts was coming out of his house in his bathrobe. He wasn't at all happy. You see, there was Bill, holding this half-empty roll of toilet paper, whilst the rest of it was threaded through the doctor's trees. In the police lights, we could see what a good job the kids had made of TPing his front yard. Well, there we were thinking we were witnesses, when the doctor and the police were thinking we were the culprits. I believe we would have been home free had it not been for that little incident I'd had with the doctor about 3 years before, the one about his annoying little dog. That stupid mutt tried to bite me once, and the doctor and I had a few unpleasant words. I guess he thought I was there trying to get even."
She thoughtfully scratched the end of her nose.
"I thought we would be able to explain to the police what had happened, but for some reason they refused to believe us. They took us to the police station from where I called Cody. He managed to convince them we were telling the truth, but the doctor was just as unconvinced as before, so Cody talked into letting us come back the next day to clean his yard if he wouldn't press any charges. I hated doing it. I hated looking guilty. But Cody convinced us that it was the best way to go about it. So, here I am, constantly living with Cody's threat of blackmail and me having to threaten him back every time. He can be such a little brother sometimes."
Seth studied her face as if trying to decide whether or not to believe her, but then, without warning, broke out into a fit of laughter. Tom and Blake looked over from where they had both been trying to nap, but quickly closed their eyes again when Suzette glared at them. After several moments, Seth finally regained control and wiped away his tears.
"If it wasn't you telling this tale, I wouldn't believe a word of it."
But as soon as he said that, he gave another snort of laughter. She tried to look annoyed, but after a few seconds, she began laughing as well. She wiped a tear away from the corner of her eye, but her voice trembled as she suppressed more laughter.
It's really not funny, you know. We were innocent after all. Seth stopped laughing, but only for a second as he studied her, and then laid his head on the arm of the seat and pounded it with both fists. By this point, even Walker was checking them out through the rearview mirror. Seth gained control of himself, but only long enough to start laughing all over again. He finally sank his face into his hands and then had to wipe away his tears. When he at last stopped laughing, he held up a hand. Okay, okay, enough. He gave another unexpected chuckle and then managed to regain control of himself again. Yeah, I could see where it might upset your mom. Nobody wants their daughter to be a known fugitive. You know, the toilet paper bandit. That's a bad rap to have. It's just plain embarrassing. While there's a toilet paper shortage in the world and you're out there wasting it on someone's yard, it's a crime. Suzette smacked his arm.
I'm telling you, I didn't do it. That roll of toilet paper came flying out of the darkness. What could Bill do but catch it?
He held up both hands. I believe you. I really do, honest. A single snort escaped, but then he managed to stem his laughter. It took a few moments before he could speak again, though, but when he did, he'd change the subject.
That's from Regina Puckett's book, Songs That I Whisper. You can find it on my webpage at narrationbygeorge.com/books. Scroll down to about the middle of the page to the Romance and Life section and click on the icon for the book for more samples as well as how to purchase. That's our time for this week for the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Don't forget you can communicate with me via Twitter, Facebook, and email. On Twitter, I am at Narration by Geo, or you can search for Narration by George on Facebook, or click the Contact Me link on my website, narrationbygeorge.com. And remember, share the blessings that God has shared with you. I'll see you next Wednesday when the Narration by George podcast will once again be new.